In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 21, 5 to 19. Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. Wars and insurrections, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, great earthquakes, famines and plagues, dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. If ever there was a week for a Bible-thumping sermon, this is the one. But I checked the sign as I was driving in this morning, and it still says Episcopalian, so I'll tone it down a little bit. But we need to deal with this. If you were here last week, you would have heard Paula doing a little public service announcement before we got started, where she talked about the lectionary, right? This three-year cycle that every Sunday appoints an Old Testament reading, a psalm, an epistle, and a gospel reading. And as Paula says, we don't get to choose. And she was making that point because last week's gospel was a little difficult to deal with its talk about marriage and remarriage and who got to go to heaven and who was saved in the resurrection at the end. And I bring this up again today because I think this one is also a little challenging, especially to Episcopal ears. But let's assume for a second that the compilers of the lectionary are actually well-intentioned, and it's not just their job to make the life of your humble preacher difficult on any Sunday. So they've put this into the lectionary for a reason. And as the collect this morning says, you know, we petition God to help us read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest what's going on. So let's read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. What do we make of this reading? What is it saying to us? What should we be taking away? What should we be doing differently in our lives, having listened to it? Is there, in fact, any good news in this reading? So we're kind of on our own, and we've got to go figure this out. And of course, this is a passage where a lot of people have spent a lot of time figuring it out to their own ends. If you want to suggest that the world is doomed, will come to an end, or that God punishes individuals for being different in some way, or punishes whole societies for being liberal, perhaps in some way, or you just want to peddle some bad theology, then Luke 21, 5 to 19 is just the job. Of course, if you're a mainline Protestant, an Anglican, an Episcopalian, then perhaps you just want to skip over the whole affair. Well, next week is Christ the King, and then it's Advent, and it'll soon be Christmas. Good times. But this is the reading appointed in year C for the Sunday closest to November the 17th. So let's deal with it. Let's not ignore it. And let's not leave it to other people to misuse. Let's make it ours. It's here for a reason. And I think one of the best ways of trying to understand this gospel and really make sense of it is to listen to it in three different contexts. The first context is the context in which it was the events actually happened. If you were there, what would you make of what happened? The second context is, if you were around at the time this gospel was actually written, it was actually committed to paper, what would you make of it then? And then how do we interpret it now based on what we learn from those two earlier contexts. So let's start with the first context, the events as if you were there when they happened. So I want you to imagine for a minute that you were a disciple, a follower of Jesus. You were in Jerusalem when these events took place. Jesus has made his triumphal entry back into Jerusalem, and as a follower, a disciple, you were probably starting to think that everything was starting to go well. You look at the temple in all its glory, in all its magnificence, and you think, with Jesus back in town, it's all going to be perfected soon. That Jesus will drive out the corruption that surrounds the place and make it perfect, make it magnificent spiritually as much as it is magnificent physically. Little are you aware of what is actually about to happen, what events are about to unfold that will ultimately end up at the Passion with Jesus nailed to the cross. So Jesus lays it all out. No, it's not that simple. It's not going to play out the way you think it is, the way that you would like it to play out. A lot of bad things are going to happen before everything is ultimately set in its right place and the kingdom is established. And before that, bad things are going to happen to you personally. You will be arrested and persecuted and handed over to the authorities. Your family may betray you. You may lose your life. And the temple, which you had such high hopes for, will be destroyed. And in just a few sentences, as you were standing there with Jesus in Jerusalem, your world is turned upside down. You were expecting some great triumph, and now your Messiah is telling you much the opposite. But there is good news to be had, says Jesus. The persecution is going to provide you with the opportunity to testify. And better still, I, says Jesus, will give you the words and the wisdom to do so, to make your case. And you may be hated, but Jesus will protect you. Not a hair on your head will perish. And there, in the middle of that chaos and confusion to come, is the good news. And today, when our world sometimes gets turned upside down, something really changes. Sometimes those are the best times in living our lives that we testify our faith and we find our words and wisdom in our faith. So let's now fast forward about 80-odd years to the future beyond there. Imagine now that we're around with Luke as he's writing his gospel. By this point, the chaos and confusion that Jesus talked about has actually come to pass. The temple has indeed been destroyed a few years ago, and yes, people are being persecuted, as reported by Luke in his second book, The Acts of the Apostles. So we're seeing these words of Jesus actually come to life. And around us, as documented in Acts, we're seeing latter-day disciples fearlessly testify to their Savior, despite the risks and dangers of doing so. But the good news is that things are playing out just as Jesus had prophesied. Yes, there's more chaos and confusion to come. Perhaps things will get worse before they get better, but that's okay. The worse it gets, perhaps, the closer to Jesus' return and establishment of the kingdom we'll have. That's good news too. And news we can use today in being steadfast in troubling times. So what about the present day? Well, things actually haven't gone quite the way people expected. The church grew, the word, the good news, spread throughout the world, and while the world has certainly had its ups and downs over the centuries, that final apocalypse, that final cataclysm, hasn't actually happened. So into this void, we've had plenty of time with all our human imagination to pour centuries of ideas into this void, from the medieval images of the apocalypse to our current modern obsession in modern culture with zombies. And it seems to us right now in 2019 that we're living in a time of increasing chaos and confusion, and the world may seem to be changing rapidly and not always in a good way. We face a lot of challenges, from climate change to an evolving, uncertain world order. Uncertainty seems to be everywhere. Many people seem to believe that things are only going to get worse before they're going to get better. So is this the beginning of the end? Are these great portents from heaven? Probably not. And in many ways, our life today is a lot easier than things that in our lifetime, and certainly our parents' lifetime, are a lot better than things have been. But there's no getting away from that feeling of chaos and confusion. But we have here, right in this gospel reading, this good news. Yes, we do face challenges. Yes, we may be beset by the doom mongers and the naysayers. Yes, we do hear of wars and insurrections, famines and plagues and earthquakes, and all sorts of bad news. Just think about the news that you've heard just in the last 7 days. But what is our response as Christians? What's that to be? Do not be terrified, Jesus says to us. And here's our opportunity to testify. Jesus says, I will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. And that should be our calling. To go forth in the world, yes, go forth in peace, but also to testify, to make the case for a world made better, more just, more equitable, through our love of Jesus and our commitment to face up to these challenges. And not to be terrified, but to be called to action in whatever way we can, however small, to make the world a little more perfect in His name every day. And that is the good news in Luke 21:5-19. Amen.